Welcome to the Crystal Healing Certification course at the Sacred Wellness School of Healing Arts. Today's class is called Crystals and Energy Healing. Our topics: the healing world of crystals, crystal healing in history, crystal healing in modern practice, what healing means, crystal healing in practice, the science of crystals, and how crystal energy works. The healing world of crystals. Crystals are potent, high vibrational, and earth-based beings. Crystal energy is vibrational energy. So any work that you do with crystals is energy work, and therefore crystal healing is energy healing. Now, even though crystals are very trendy, they've been recognized as powerful tools for transformation, protection, and attraction throughout history. Crystal healing is a holistic system. Crystals have been known to affect the mind, body, and the soul. And like I said, while they may be trendy and commonly associated with the new age, they're certainly not new. To work with crystals, all you need is to understand how they work, keep an open mind, and be willing to experiment and receive the benefits for yourself. Let's begin with some history. The use of crystals by humans as tools for health and well-being dates back thousands of years. Archaeological evidence of the use of amulets, which are used to ward off evil, and talismans, which are used to attract protection and abundance, dates as far back as 60,000 years ago in the Upper Paleolithic period. The earliest amulets and talismans were more organic in nature, but as time progressed, crystals and stones started to play an important part in their creation. Ancient Egyptians were known to use crystals for both physical and spiritual healing, specifically in their embalming rituals as a means to protect the soul when crossing over. They also used crystals in their jewelry, as well as to make amulets and talismans for protection and to draw good fortune. And just a little fun aside here, Cleopatra was also known to use pyrite flecks and powdered lapis lazuli as eyeshadow. So pyrite is the fool's gold, so those are those gold flecks, and lapis lazuli is that vibrant dark blue, and anybody who's seen any kind of Cleopatra iconography definitely knows that gold and vibrant dark blue played into her makeup and into her features. Amulets made of Baltic amber, which are very popular today, were discovered and dated as far back as 30,000 years ago, and amber beads were discovered in Britain dating as far back as 10,000 years. You may or may not be aware of this, but Baltic amber and especially amber jewelry and amber beads are super popular today, and most people are buying amber jewelry for babies. Now, the whole premise behind this jewelry, this amber jewelry, is that, just to put it in layman's terms, buy this bracelet, put it on your baby, and they won't cry, which sounds ridiculous. But the idea is that there's actually therapeutic properties within the resin of the amber. And when you wear it, or when your baby wears it, the heat from the skin starts to help the resin secrete and be absorbed by the skin, allowing the person wearing them to absorb the therapeutic properties. And among the many therapeutic properties said to be present in amber is its analgesic properties. So it's been known to be effective for teething babies and for keeping them calm and just to help with growing pains. Certainly, they do sell amber jewelry for adults under a very similar premise, so adults with chronic pain, etc. This is an example of crystal healing being used, not even for energetic purposes, but for a very, very practical purpose. They do sell other forms of jewelry, pieces of wood and other things. You know, many years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, it was very trendy for people to spend time to lie down on a jade bed. This giant slab of jade, and people would swear by it. People would say they'd lie down on this jade bed for however many minutes and their arthritis would go away, or at least they would feel better for a period of time. And it was nice because it was a non-invasive, non-medical, risk-free way to get some pain relief. So that still happens. And anybody who's ever been to a health supply store or even to a mall, I'm sure you've seen these copper bracelets or these magnetic bracelets. And, you know, sometimes they do touch on the energetic healing properties of these bracelets and necklaces, etc. And for the most part, they're actually really drawing on the facts, the physical facts behind the effects of the copper and the magnets and etc. So that is the case with amber. So here's the fun thing about amber. You know, even if you find that it doesn't work for you, whether it's for your own pain or your kid's pain, I mean, honestly, it's really hard to say with children in general, because, you know, teething pain and growing pains, I mean, they vary in severity from mild to very, very severe. So sometimes there's just not much you can do regardless of what you're using. But the energetic properties of amber are still in play. And it may interest you to know that amber was so precious to the Norse goddess Freya that she, you know, did everything she could in her power to acquire this this necklace set, which was made, you know, out of amber. So there's a lot to it. Suffice it to say, this is something that is sold in a very matter-of-fact way. You know, people who sell and who buy amber jewelry or magnetic jewelry or copper jewelry or even jade jewelry, right? They don't identify necessarily as being new age, and they don't necessarily even believe in energy healing, and they don't acknowledge the energetic properties, but they do acknowledge that for a long period of time, and you know, it's commonly known that these crystals, these stones, these whatever resins these are, they've been recognized to help. And so this is not new, which is the point of this section. I just want to say that working with crystals for your well-being is a concept that's as old as time. And finally, another example, and there are so many examples throughout the world, I'm just sharing a few key points here. In China, jade was and still is valued for its metaphysical properties, particularly its ability to draw luck, abundance, and good health. And it's still a belief that carries on to this day. And it's so ingrained in the culture that I still truly believe, and I see jade as being as precious as it is. I'm not Chinese, but I did spend many of my formative years in Hong Kong, and it was just something that you saw all the time. Every time there was a baby, they had a jade bracelet. Jade was precious. Jade was respected. You know, no question about it. You know, this is a very, the culture was very, very scientific and allopathic, but when it came to the jade, there was no question about that. I mean, at the very least, it was traditional and beautiful. But it's just something, even though it wasn't necessarily my culture, it's something that's still so ingrained in me. And I still see jade as this fantastic, both metaphysically and scientifically, as a healing tool. But I digress. Crystal healing in modern practice. Modern crystal healing practice has its roots in ancient Greece, actually, where many of the crystal's healing properties originated. In fact, the word crystal comes from the Greek word ice. Crystal healing has come a long way since ancient times, evolving from a widely accepted practice to a metaphysical healing technique often reserved for those who identified with the New Age community. But certainly that's not a requirement. Of course, with the rise of allopathic medicine, the need for crystal healing and other related modalities has fallen into the background, with many people doubting their effectiveness and validity. Allopathic medicine is important, I just want to say. It's important, it's valid, and it's an imperative part of holistic health. In my professional opinion, there is no holistic health if we don't allow for conventional allopathic medicine. As humans, though, we're comprised of both an energetic and physical body, both of which affect each other directly. So we could say on a very superficial level, and certainly, you know, take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt, because nobody lives in a vacuum and there are so many things affecting all of us at any one given time. But suffice it to say, your energetic and physical state mirror each other. So the theory is, and we know this to be true deep down in our core, that our physical condition is a mirror of our energetic condition. Now, this is not an argument for victimhood or to say that people should be blamed or are blamed or blamable, culpable for their disease. That's not how that works in planet Earth. But we all know that a simple shift in perspective or amazing news or just having a really positive attitude and really working with that and changing your own vibrational field whether it's with energetic healing tools or positive affirmations or whatever spiritual practice it is that you do, the point is whatever you do to raise your vibration on a spiritual energetic level will be reflected in the physical body one way or another. And this manifests in people who should be in an incredible amount of pain, but maybe only have moderate pain, or people who should have mild to moderate pain and have actually no pain, or people who should heal within 6 to 8 weeks, but actually heal completely within 2 weeks, you know, that type of thing. Or in certain cases, and in many of these cases, people who have terminal illness, but still have a high level of wellness and are able to come to closure and still enjoy life, whatever that looks like, to the best of their ability. As high vibrational energy beings, crystals are invaluable in stimulating healing in the energy body as well as the physical body. And that's one thing that's really, really special about crystal healing, especially being an energetic healing modality. We do focus on the fact that it is purely vibrational and energetic, but it doesn't change the fact that people have been using crystals to help with menstrual cramps, with pain from sprains and strains, for physical healing, for support during a chronic illness, or whatever the case may be. Of course, this is all anecdotal at the end of the day, and certainly there have been studies done on energy healing and on crystals for sure. But we are going to focus on the energetic part of it. But like I said, it's still special. It's worth noting. The metaphysical properties that ancient cultures have attributed to them still hold true today, and thanks to the efforts of many dedicated energy healers, we have countless crystal healing techniques at our disposal. Truly, there is a crystal and a crystal therapy for everybody. Crystal healing is an evolving modality, and every practitioner lends their own experience and knowledge to the collective well of holistic health practices. What healing means. It's important to note that the word healing, especially when used in the context of holistic health and energy medicine, doesn't mean cure. Healing encompasses the wellness of body, mind, and spirit. And it's totally possible for a physically healthy person to have a low level of wellness and vice versa. So wellness is the sum total of the mind, body, spirit experience. So what I mean by that is you could have a person who is very, very physically healthy, but at a time in their lives, and we all go through this, right, where they're just very mentally and emotionally challenged. They could be fatigued. They could be suffering from post-traumatic stress. And regardless of the circumstances, we all know what it's like to be in these energetic states. And sometimes these states last for a very, 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 very long period of time. And they really start to permeate their entire existence. So their social relationships, their family relationships, their work, the way they think about themselves, the way they treat themselves, if they're taking care of themselves at all, their ability to care for other people, their willingness to take good care of themselves physically. So even though they may appear well and, you know, even their blood work and everything shows like it's perfect, if you add up the experience that they're having mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, they're not experiencing a high level of wellness. You know, we could even say that it's as simple as, are you happy with yourself? Are you happy with your life? And we all go through ups and downs, but it can happen where it's very chronic, right? And vice versa. So you could have somebody who from the outside, or even blood work wise, or even just looking at their physical capability, they wouldn't appear to be in peak physical condition, or they may never be able to be in peak physical condition. But if you look at the sum total of their life experience, if they have a high enough amount of wellness in their mind and their emotions and their soul, they have a strong spiritual practice, whatever that looks like, they could actually be experiencing a high level of wellness. Wellness to that end is quite subjective. And the most important thing is it is sum total. So of course, depending on your physical condition, you know, it is one thing to really, really be suffering and you could have the best attitude in the world. But if you're really in a lot of physical pain and you're not able to care for yourself to the best of your abilities, that's definitely going to affect your wellness, right? So we're also recognizing that one affects the other. And so we're hoping in this very non-specific example that one's energetic practices, and that includes the mind-body-soul equation, helps to improve everything else. So again, we're looking at a sum total. Is there a formula? No. It's just a matter of knowing what's true for you. And if you're working with other people, whether it's your clients, friends, and family, just trusting them, right? If they say they're well, they're well. Most people are pretty honest, especially with their health providers, whatever the case may be. If someone's coming to you and they want a crystal healing session, that doesn't necessarily mean they're having a low level of wellness. I mean, indeed, a lot of the time we're drawn to these esoteric and metaphysical practices when things are going very well, right? And this is actually the best time to learn about holistic health and to master it for yourself is last year, because it takes time to get to know it. It takes time to see how it works and how it works with you, because this is all a very subjective experience. It's so important to know that. So inevitably, as part of being human on planet Earth, we're going to come up with trouble. And so if you're already well versed with how to use crystal healing and all the other holistic health modalities, it'll just be that much easier for you to help yourself when the time comes, or to help other people when the time comes, whatever that may be. Crystal healing, like all energy healing modalities, works in the body as a holistic unit, like I said, in mind, body, and spirit. And therefore, its effects will be felt and experienced in a vastly different way than with conventional medicine. Since crystal energy addresses the body as a whole, crystals heal, quote unquote, by restoring wellness to the entire body, including the subtle bodies. So the unseen energetic bodies, such as the mental and emotional bodies. Crystals have a myriad of energetic properties, many of which can be applied to supporting the health of your physical body. And where crystals seem to provide the greatest benefit is in the realm of mental, emotional, and spiritual support. In addition, crystals can be used very effectively in helping you manifest a supportive environment, as well as your needs in the physical realm. And I'm talking very simply here, like using crystals to create sacred space, to really raise the vibration of your home, of your office, of your healing space, and to even use crystals to help you with intention setting and manifesting. Always want to remind people, crystals must never be used in lieu of medicine. With regards to all energy healing practices, at least most energy healing practices, I always like to say the worst thing that can happen is nothing happens. Unless, of course, you put all your eggs in the one basket and nothing happening is actually rather detrimental. So just be smart. Crystals are not allopathic medicine. So if you need it, then go ahead and do that. Crystals are not going to interact with whatever medical treatment you're doing. In fact, they can help to enhance it. You know, very, very invasive medical treatments can sometimes be a little messy in the aura. Some would say they're damaging to the aura. And so definitely keeping crystals close by and activating them, charging them with your intention and helping yourself, you know, rise to that vibration can help to repair and to heal any energetic holes, if you will. Crystal healing in practice. Crystal healing is a rapidly evolving field. The practice of crystal healing lends itself beautifully to other holistic health and metaphysical modalities, including, and certainly not limited to, Reiki, massage therapy, reflexology, life coaching, and intuitive counseling, to name just a few examples. Crystal healing is also a complete modality in and of itself, and can be a standalone practice. Long story short, and we're going to get into this a lot deeper in a future class, but there are so many ways of being a crystal entrepreneur and so many ways of incorporating crystals into your business and into your healing practice, let alone your own personal practice. Crystal healers come from all walks of life and serve a variety of clients. Here are just some examples of the many services you can offer. You can offer in-person healing sessions with crystals, distance healing sessions. You can do custom crystal grid creation, which is really fun. You can create custom amulet and talismans, or you can take some that have already been made and you can empower them. You can make mojo bags or medicine bags. I love mojo bags. We're going to definitely get into that. You could do crystal consultations, everything from incorporating that into your life coaching practice or any kind of intuitive counseling that you already do. If you are in a conversation with your clients and they recognize that they want to draw certain energies into their life or are looking for some additional energy healing support, that's what the crystal consultations are for. And again, this is not like a diagnosis or anything like that, but just sharing the fact that you know certain crystals have certain energetic properties and giving people really concrete, practical ideas for being able to use these crystals in their life. You know, a lot of people aren't stupid. So we know Google exists, we know YouTube exists, and we know we have books, but that's still not enough. So they buy a bag of rocks and then they buy a book and then what, right? Well, you as an expert can say, hey, look, why don't you get something more of this shape? It's a little bit more realistic, it's more durable. Keep it with you in your purse. Every time you go for that appointment, you can hold it, you can keep it close. Or you know you're gonna have this situation come up. Let's create this crystal grid. This is what I would recommend. Or what crystals do you have? Rather than go shopping for new crystals, you can help your client based on what they've got, based on the resources they have, create something intelligent and intentional that's just for them. And that will be so much more meaningful. On that note, you know, I believe all holistic practitioners are teachers, or at the very least should embrace the fact that a huge component of what you do is teaching. And so if you're so inspired, you can do your own workshops and your own lectures. You can write, you should write, I highly recommend it for everybody. And of course, you can formulate your own crystal essences and crystal elixirs and any product that you can formulate, you can infuse crystal energy into. We're definitely going to be talking about that in another class, so stay tuned. Everybody is unique and everybody will have something different to offer the world. This course will give you the knowledge and tools to offer a wide variety of crystal healing services, as well as empower you to create your own. And I have to say, not a day goes by when I'm just so impressed by the ingenuity of my clients. I love so much seeing their offerings on their websites and on their Facebook. And every time it's like, wow, I never thought of that. That's so amazing. So many people are going to love that. Or I'll be browsing Etsy and I'll be browsing, you know, the makers. And I'll be like, my goodness, what a simple concept. And I'll just give you an example that comes to mind. There's this local seller and her entire business is predicated on selling crystal bags. So she actually pre-makes bags with intention, you know, for protection, for fertility, for attraction, all of the things. And she just lovingly puts them together. And I have never seen her do a post that didn't sell out within 15 to 20 minutes. And she charges a very reasonable price, but still fair for what she offers. And, you know, they're very much lovingly made. They're empowered. You can tell she really, really loves what she's doing. It's a really simple concept. But for other people who don't know how to do it, don't care to do it, just want to try this modality, it's so simple and it's such an empowering way. Now let's move on to the science of crystals. So while crystal healing is primarily a metaphysical art, it's important for you to know some basic crystal science, including proper terms and definitions. The words crystal, stone, gemstone, and rock are often used interchangeably when discussing the metaphysical properties of crystals. However, these terms are not synonymous, and each of these has distinct properties. Crystals are minerals that possess a regularly repeating, stable, crystalline structure. Crystalline refers to the type of structure in which the atoms, molecules, or ions are in a repeating pattern. The formation of a crystalline structure by atoms, molecules, or ions is called crystallization. The stability of their crystalline structure is part of what makes them such high vibrational beings, as well as what enables them to hold and transmit large amounts of energy. In this sense, crystals represent the perfection that we humans aspire to, or the enlightenment that we wish to achieve. I have a few extra things I want to say about this. So the specific molecular arrangement of each crystal is also what gives it its specific energetic healing properties, okay? And you have to remember that crystals have been used since forever, since the beginning of time, not just for metaphysical purposes, but for scientific purposes as well. The first radio was a crystal set. You know, we recognize that because crystals have a regularly repeating crystalline structure, they hold energy, they hold information, they hold communication, they hold vibration, okay? Crystals are everywhere. You're watching this, whether on your computer, a tablet, or your phone, there are crystals in that. There's crystals in most, if not all, electronics. Yes, a lot of them are man-made crystals, but at the end of the day, that is a thing because we recognize that's what makes it work, right? So crystals, the whole idea of crystals and their purity and their stability and their ability to hold energy, to hold information, to hold a feeling, a thought, an emotion, a vibration, that's based in fact, and that's due to their molecular structure. Now, rocks and stones are created as a result of their environmental circumstances and are usually made up of a variety of different minerals and elements. Rocks and stones have the ability to transform and crystallize, and indeed many crystals are formed from rocks. Rocks are classified as either igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic. And that's just about as scientific as we're going to get in this course. You know, if you really are fascinated by this, I recommend that you study geology. There are lots of amazing introductory geology courses out there. And, you know, there's so many different ways to work within crystals. So there are, of course, the geologists who are very scientifically minded and don't care about the energetic properties of crystals. But there's always some kind of overlap. You can't work with the Earth Kingdom for a very, very long time without recognizing or knowing, whether or not you choose to admit it, that different crystals have different energies. And there was a movie that came out recently. I believe it's called Uncut Gems. And believe it or not, it's made by Adam Sandler. It's not a comedy, okay? It's not a silly comedy or anything like that. It's actually a very serious movie, not for kids. Not that any of Adam Sandler's movies are really for kids. It's called Uncut Gems, and the one of the main characters, when he picks up this rock, it's, you know, it's got crystals, and it's straight from the mine, which, you know, they draw attention to the mining practices and everything. It's like he enters another alternate dimension, like he goes through some sort of flashback, like he has this deep connection with this rock. Now, this movie, Uncut Gems, I'm not promoting this movie. I just ended up talking about it in this class. So I started, I'm just going to keep going. I'm not pitching this movie at all. It's funny to me because the whole movie, like it's a serious, you know, drama, gangster movie, but the whole point of the movie, like the whole storyline, is because a celebrity connected with this crystal. Like he saw it, he made an energetic connection. He felt its power. It helped him win the basketball game or whatever. So a little bit of a spoiler alert there. And he needed to have it. It was an energetic connection. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe that this is the movie. So all that aside, you know, still one of those, I don't regret watching it. It's a haunting movie. Haunting is the word, on many levels. And this rock, he ended up buying it for, I don't know how many million dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. But anyway, point is, it wasn't that kind of movie. It's the opposite of a woo-woo movie. And it's just built on the fact that this person made this energetic connection. Anyway, watch it if you're interested. That's all I'm going to say about that for now. Okay, and now let's talk about gemstones or gems. So the term gemstone or gem is a commercial label rather than a scientific one. Gemstones are classified as either precious or semi-precious based on their color, hardness, clarity, availability, and mining requirements. The recognized precious gemstones are diamonds, sapphires, rubies, and emeralds. Semi-precious gemstones include amethyst, rose quartz, tiger's eye, iolite, peridot, and many more. So the jewelry industry is an entirely different topic in and of itself. And so, you know, it's funny because obviously, regardless of what industry you're in, we recognize diamonds, regardless of their state. Diamonds, sapphires, rubies, and emeralds are so, so, so valuable. But we all know that rose quartz, maybe not very valuable, you know, it's one of your more affordable pieces of jewelry if ever there was, right? But within the realm of crystal healing, rose quartz is incredibly valuable. And it's interesting to me when you buy crystals from a metaphysical shop, the same crystal will be priced extremely differently in an education store where they would sell the same crystals and gems to teachers and kids and other educators versus buying it at the jewelry store versus buying it at the gift shop at the science center. And what I mean to say is that definitely the metaphysical stores will hike the price up on crystals that would otherwise be very, 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 I don't want to say cheap, but let's say much more affordable at an education store or at a science store, right? Why is that? Because they know that the people that shop at the metaphysical store know that it doesn't look like much, but actually it's got these amazing healing properties. So that's my tip to you. If you want to get some really nice bigger pieces at a really, really affordable price, people always ask me, where did you get that? You know, and you have so much of it, and it's such a nice, you know, I shop education station. I go to educational stores because these are the same crystals. They're beautiful crystals. They're great quality, but their market is not, you know, metaphysical holistic healers. They're selling to educators, right? They're selling to children. And so I have some, the one, it's so cute, the ones that sell out first in the education station, of course, are going to be your fool's gold, right? Your pyrite, nice big slabs of pyrite, which I tell you, at the metaphysical store would easily be $25 a piece. You can get it for less than $5 at an education station. I'm sure you can. So be creative with where you're looking for crystals, right? It's not always about the metaphysical store. Definitely support your local metaphysical store, 100%. Do that. But you would be surprised where else you would find amazing rocks and gemstones. So, I mean, you know, the whole concept of geology, it's a science, right? So anywhere there's a science store, you'll probably find some really nice rocks there too. Back to the jewelry industry. You know, and this is not to say that if you resonate with your birthstone or your zodiac stone that your life is a lie or anything, but the concept of birthstones was an invention of the jewelry industry to drum up sales. Can you blame them, right? I mean, everybody just wants to buy diamonds. Everybody just wants emeralds and rubies. So how on earth would someone possibly conceive to drive up sales of something like opal, right? Well, make it the October birthstone. There's lots of people out there who were born in October who will have no choice but to buy it, right? Again, if you resonate with it, that's totally fine. And of course, it's not a science either. It's a gimmick, right? So different jewelry stores will have their own different list of correspondences for different birthstones. And you know, and it's not about the fact that it's the birthstone and therefore maybe your zodiac stone is different like that too. I mean, who came up with that? We don't know. It's not an exact science. Certainly, every astrological sign has a unique set of energetic qualities. And those of you who know me, you know, I'm an astrologer. I love the language of astrology. But there are so many crystals that could be beneficial for each sign. So always going with your intuition, what you're drawn to, and also really what's your intention, right? Like the whole concept behind birthstones, I think, is very similar to the concept of zodiac stones. So let's say you're in Aries, all right? Why do you want your birthstone? Is it because you don't feel like yourself and you want to be more Aries? Or you just want to rep your people? You know what I mean? Or are you feeling depleted in that area? Or do you feel like the shadow elements of being Aries are too overactive and you want to kind of tone that down? You know, we're talking about like very, very different crystals here because we're working with very different energies across the board. So the whole premise with crystal healing is always, always, always work with your intuition. Certainly don't let a jewelry store or a boxed kit tell you which crystal is for you. Funny story about that I'll share. When I was younger, I received a jewelry kit. It was like a bunch of beautiful pendants, and these were tumbled stone pendants. And I had 12 of them, one for each month of the year. So the whole idea was, you know, someone gave me a birthstone pendant kit. So my birthstone in that kit was a smoky quartz, which was the birthstone for October. And I know that other charts say it's rose zircon or pink zircon, which, you know, I love that, or opal, but whatever. In this particular kit, it was smoky quartz. It was the least attractive crystal of all of the pendants, let me tell you, because there were green ones, there were pink ones, there were clear ones, orange ones, red ones, yellow ones, blue ones, and I had the gray one, and I didn't understand. I was like, what luck? And because I'm very type A in that way, I'm like, nope, even though this whole box of pendants belongs to me because I was born in October, I can only wear the smoky quartz one. So I gave the other ones away to my friends and my sisters and all that, right? So I begrudgingly wore this smoky quartz, which, you know what, is something about that energy. Pretty soon it became my most favorite crystal of all time. Most favorite necklace of all time. And then even after I learned what my other birthstone could be and what my other options were, I was like, no. There's just something about this. I really feel it. Like, I really feel it. And today, smoky quartz is still one of my favorite crystals. And I'll never forget that. I just remember, who knows, like I could have picked from any of them. Nobody would have known why I had the kit, but I had to wear it. And so I did. I was probably 6 or 7 at the time. Maybe a little bit older because I had a sister by then. So, yeah, maybe about 7. But anyway, just thought I'd share that little nugget, if you will. Okay, so we have these phrases, right? Crystal, gem, gemstone, rock stone. So, the fact of the matter is, many crystal healing practitioners continue to use these terms interchangeably. And you know what? You're welcome to do so. I mean, I'm not the boss of you. I certainly don't mind it when these terms are used interchangeably, especially when we're talking metaphysically, especially if you're already comfortable with it, there's no point in making a big deal. But it's really important, especially now identifying yourself as an expert. You just got to remember that they actually mean very, very different things, right? A very common phrase is stone medicine or stone healing, and honestly, I love it. It's very poetic, the whole phrase stone medicine. I love it. But I mean, technically. Not all crystals, not all stones will become crystals, right? So, but that's fine, whatever. I mean, we all know what that means, right? Really, the most commonly used terms in crystal healing are the words crystal and stone, and that's fine. And for the purposes of this course, I'm just going to continue to use these words interchangeably because that's how I was trained, and I'm not going to get nitpicky about it for metaphysical purposes. Just as long as the record shows, we all know what they actually mean, and they're quite different things. And it's also worth noting that in the realm of crystal healing and energy healing, we also use many other organic materials, neither of which are crystals or stones. So examples include, amber, which is a resin, jet. We also use fossils. You can use shells. All of these have been used throughout history for humankind for both decorative, healing, and energetic purposes. Okay, so we have to touch on the Mohs hardness scale. You may remember this from your elementary science class. The Mohs hardness scale, developed by Friedrich Mohs in 1812, provides us with a way to categorize crystals and stones based on their hardness. Each stone is given a number from 1 to 10, with 1 being very soft and 10 being the hardest. Each stone is able to scratch those whose numbers are lower than it and are able to be scratched by those whose numbers are higher. So, for example, fluorite has a hardness of 4 and can scratch stones with a hardness of 3, 2, or 1. However, fluorite itself can be scratched by stones with a hardness of 5 and up. So here are just two example charts of Mohs hardness scale, so ranging all the way from talc, which is, powder, to diamond. And we all know that trick, right? You can take a diamond, and if it can be scratched, then it's not a real diamond. But you can, use a diamond and scratch a mirror, and that's your little trick there. It just reminds me of that scene in The Crown when Princess Margaret signs her name in the mirror with the diamond. Sorry if that's not much of a spoiler. It doesn't really share anything there. But take a look here. So, Mohs hardness scale number 1 is talc, so obviously powder. Number 2 is gypsum, selenite. Selenite is already number 2. Holy cow, right? There's a lot of people out there who buy these big selenite cathedrals, and the cathedral, I mean, like just a big, building-ish thing of selenite, or the selenite lamps, or of course the wands, right? Everybody's got these selenite wands. And these selenite candle holders and all the things, and they get damaged. Why do they get damaged? Because they're very, very, very soft. They have a hardness of 2, right? Everything else above it, everything else can scratch it. They break easily. They're gonna flake off. There's nothing you can do about that. So if you're carrying your selenite wands around, wrap them up with a cloth or tissue or napkins or something. I'm always very, very careful with how I wrap my selenite. And yes, tumbling the selenite will help to increase its durability, but it's still going to be quite soft. You know, I've always heard stories of people leaving their crystals out in the moonlight or whatever to get cleansed, right? And then they forget about it, and then it rains, and then they go out and they're like, where'd my selenite go? I swear I had it out here. And it literally just disintegrated in the water. So that's not something that you'll be running underwater. Calcite too, that's a very popular crystal. You know, I love my blue calcite. It gives a really, really nice energy for my healing room. Everybody loves orange calcite, and that's a 3. So that's also very, very delicate. Fluorite, that's another beautiful one. Great for physical healing, great for deflecting EMFs and negative energy. That's only a 4. So just being aware, right? And that will help you to take better care of your crystals so that they last longer and that you're not disappointed. And our final topic in the science of crystals is crystal growth systems or habits. So a lattice is the geometric arrangement or network of points in which a crystal grows. The crystal lattice provides symmetry and definition, and it also determines the direction of energy flow within the crystal. So there are 7 main crystal lattice systems, so the crystal growth systems or habits, which provide us with another way to categorize our crystals. Each system corresponds with the 7 main chakras in the human body, beginning with isometric or cubic, corresponding to the root chakra, and culminating with triclinic, corresponding to the crown chakra. Crystal growth systems or habits, so from 1 to 7, I'll say this out loud for you. There's not going to be a quiz on it or anything. It's just good to know. So there's the isometric or cubic. There's hexagonal with hexagonal varieties, hexagonal with trigonal and rhombohedral varieties, orthorhombic, tetragonal, monoclinic, and triclinic. How crystal energy works. So as we've discussed earlier, crystal healing is a form of energy healing. And energy healing works through the law of vibrational resonance or entrainment. So to put this in extremely basic, scratch the surface, superficial words, if you have 2 things sharing a different vibration, so let's say there's something, you have object A with a high vibration, object B with a low vibration, and they share space. In the law of vibrational resonance, they can't coexist at different vibrations. So one of 3 things will happen, right? The higher vibration will drop down to meet the lower one, the lower one will rise up to meet the higher one, or they're going to meet somewhere in the middle. And so it's the strongest vibration that will affect the surrounding or associating vibrations. Now, again, don't take this example and use it as a way to blame other people. You know what I mean? We are all responsible for our own energy. And regardless of what kind of energy people are emitting, we have the conscious ability to reframe our thoughts and to choose our response. And even though we might have yucky feelings and all of those feelings are 100% valid, we can still control our response. And that's the difference between a graceful, mature person and somebody who doesn't understand why nobody invites them to the party, right? So, you know, the phrase grow up, right? What are we trying to say? Like, you know, we understand, you know, little children, they have their feelings and they don't quite have the mental and emotional capacity to, you know, still not do the harmful thing. But we expect that at a certain age, regardless of your feelings, which are totally valid, you can still control your response. And that's the important thing we have to learn from energy healing, okay? And that's the whole point of energy healing, is to keep your energy high, to keep your vibration high, to keep your mental and emotional and spiritual state high. So regardless of what's happening around you or what people say, you can be like, okay, thank you very much. You know, whether it's, and I'm not saying that you'll automatically forgive everybody. That's not, you know, forgiveness is the hardest work of all. but I think you understand what I'm trying to say here. We're responsible for ourselves and our own experience to the best of our abilities. There's actually a lot of things we can't control. Yes, I believe in the law of attraction, but I also believe in surrender. And the fact of the matter is, there's very, very, very little we can control in the grand scheme of things. But I can control myself. I can control my outlook. I can control to tap into whatever energy healing practices are available to me. I can control to do everything I can on the physical realm and on the energetic realm. And I have personally found that crystals have been so important and transformative in helping me in my emotional work in the energetic realm. Intent is the driving force behind all energy healing. And what I mean by that, specific to crystal healing, is that all crystals, because of their molecular structure and their unique therapeutic and energetic properties, all crystals have their own latent healing abilities, but they're activated by intent. Okay, so your desire, or even just your willingness to open up to the healing properties of this crystal, is more than enough for them to activate and for your energy to start to meld together, right? So, for example, common one is crystals for abundance. I get asked about that all the time. I've even taught an entire class on crystals for abundance. It's the one topic I get, you know, more people want more of anything, whether it's more money or whatever it is, right? So let's say you recognize that energetically and in your mind state, you're just not vibing. You don't get abundance. You don't understand the energy of abundance. You've always been living in lack and you need some help. You recognize that, right? You can hold the energy of abundance in your mind for a few minutes, maybe a few seconds, but it's not something that is really part of your energetic pattern or your habits. So we take a crystal like citrine or like green aventurine, right? And we recognize that inherently these crystals have the properties and the energetic signature of abundance. They're about growth and positivity and wealth in terms of positivity and support, like wealth for doing good, that type of thing, right? So we recognize that in these crystals. We do what we need to do. We cleanse them, we charge them. And regardless of the form, whatever form of crystal we've chosen, whether it's a piece of jewelry, whether it's a tumbled stone, or whether it's a large piece that we can't move from our houses, we've chosen to connect with that crystal because we've recognized, at this time, I'm living in lack. I would like to learn. I would like my energy to learn what it's like to be in an abundant state. Here is this crystal that, by its very nature, is always in abundant state, right? And then so your willingness to open up to that will activate the crystal's energy. And then regardless of whether you take the crystal to work with you, or if it's too big, you leave it at home or whatever it is, right? You've tapped into that energy. And over time, your energetic field is going to start to shift because of your intention, because crystals are naturally high vibrational. We don't have to make them high vibrational. They're made in the earth over a very, very long period of time. They're very, very high vibrational. So over time, your energy signature is going to shift to be very similar. And then your energy signature is going to learn what abundance feels like. And then those new energetic patterns are going to change your mind about certain things. You're going to decide to read different books. You're going to decide to do different things with your money. You're going to decide that actually you really don't need that. You're going to just, it's going to start to change your mind. It's going to start to change your feelings about things, which if you actually follow your intuition and allow yourself to do what your energy is guiding you to do, will manifest in your physical life. There's no way around it. Because if you follow this energetic guidance and you do the smart thing, of course, everything is tempered with your common sense, right? It's going to change your physical experience, because how you feel and think about things is going to change how you do things, if you do them at all. And what new things that you do. I think you know what I'm saying there, right? And that's just a very, very, very small example. And that's just working with one crystal, with one very general concept. Your options are really limitless, because adding two or three crystals to the mix, or really being focused more with a certain theme, you know, the possibilities for crystals affecting your energetic level, and then therefore over time your physical level, are really endless. Their structure is really, really strong and stable. So another thing that you can use crystals for is to help you hold that vibration of belief. So remember I mentioned that crystals, the first radio was a crystal set. Well, if you can hold that energy. We're going to go back to just the same analogy we were using earlier with the abundance. So let's say for most of the time you recognize you're in lack mentality, but you're able to believe for 60, 90 seconds that you actually are capable of being the higher version of yourself that is able to attract abundance and keep it and share it with others. But if the problem is you're not able to hold that vibration for a long time, you can hold that vibration with your crystal. And I'll share with you exactly how to do this in a later class. But you can actually program that crystal with your belief and your intent. And so even after you've dropped that belief and you're getting on with your day and you're back in your lack mentality, it doesn't matter because somewhere out there, there's your crystal, which you've programmed that is creating this space in the energetic field that truly knows and believes and sees you at your higher self. And that exists in the here and now. And that's a high vibration, and it's going to keep on holding and holding and holding. It's almost like a very, very strong magical version of a post-it note that you just put on your wall that says, yes, you can, right? And it's like, oh yeah, I remember now. But this one, this vibration is humming, it's existing, it's there, right? It's created with your intent. So that's another way, another very simple way that crystal healing works. And again, in this example, we're just working with one crystal. Imagine, this is why crystal grids are so transformative, because you're working with multiple crystals, often with different properties that all lend themselves to your original intent. And then you're working with sacred geometry or even mojo bags, right? Which maybe you may not be working with sacred geometry, but you're still working with a very specific combination of crystals that are all activated to work with your intent and whatever else that you've added to that bag to help with your intention. So crystals are created from within the earth, obviously, and as such, they're powerful conduits of Mother Earth energy. They're very grounding. They're very high vibrational, some more than others, but they're also a great way to really connect with the earth. And their vibrational frequency is among the highest of any natural object that you'll find. So it's up there with your plants and your flowers and your flower essences, right? A lot of the really popular pre-made flower essence blends are not just flower essences. More and more now I'm noticing in the market, it's almost the majority of the time where if you're buying a pre-made flower essence blend, there's a very good chance there's gem essence in there or crystal essence in there. And so we're all recognizing, you know, even herbalists and everybody, anybody who makes elixirs, anybody who works with energy medicine recognizes that crystals are powerful, they're fast, they're high vibe, they're portable, you know, they have, you know, we don't eat the crystals, right? So there's like nothing, no risk there, right? You just have to keep them close, or you just simply have to open yourself to their healing properties. And so this is why simply being in their presence, whether you place them in your living space or within your auric field as a piece of jewelry you carry it on you, that's why that simple practice can have such a profound effect on you. Over time, you will start to entrain with the crystals that you're working with. And this can, and I venture to say it will, create energetic shifts and huge potential for it to be a catalyst for change in the physical realm and in your physical reality. So in summary, crystal healing is an ancient practice that is now widely recognized as a valid energy healing modality. The practice of crystal healing is a rapidly developing field. Crystal healing is a powerful standalone modality on it as well. Crystal healing is easily incorporated into other modalities. Crystals are minerals that possess a crystalline structure. Their molecular structure is what ultimately determines their vibrational healing properties. In the metaphysical realm, crystal and stone are often used interchangeably, but just remember, scientifically, they mean very different things. And in a nutshell, crystal energy works through the law of vibrational resonance. Crystal healing works by affecting our energy through the law of vibrational resonance. Thank you so much. I hope you found this class enlightening and inspiring.